Welcome back, ragazzi, to Tactics Imperium, powered by Serie A Spotlight. I'm your host, Gianluca Lia, and this is a new segment dedicated to breaking down the tactics of the biggest Serie A matches. As always, let us know your feedback and suggestions. We'd love to hear from you. So, today we dive into Napoli versus Inter, a highly anticipated clash that ended in a 1-1 draw, with both teams still fighting for this year's Scudetto, alongside Atalanta, right? Let's get straight into it. This match was defined by tactical nuances, and one of the most surprising statistics was that Inter recorded 0 expected goal in the second half. Yep, you heard it right, 0 expected goals. For those unfamiliar with this statistic, expected goal is a metric that measures the probability of a shot resulting in a goal based on thousands of historical shots with similar characteristics. In simple terms, this means Inter didn't even manage a single dangerous shot in the second half. On the other hand, Napoli's expected goal was 1.27, thanks to their 12 shots, which included 2 big chances. So, now we head into one of my main takeaways of this game. Managerial decisions were crucial. Napoli opted for Billy Gilmore alongside Stanislav Lobotka, altering the dynamics midfield. Both players were playing as holding midfielders, marshalling the backline, with Scott McTominay playing high ahead of them, which is his ideal role, a role that he used to play at Manchester United as well. The idea behind this system was to disrupt Inter build-up play, but Bastoni often managed to bypass Gilmore's press, exploiting gaps in Napoli's defensive setup, and we'll get back to this in a second. Napoli's high press saw Giacomo Raspadori putting pressure on Jan Bissek and Romelu Lukaku targeting Francesco Acerbi, with Giovanni Di Lorenzo, one of the 3 center backs of Napoli, pushing high as well. With Di Lorenzo advancing and Bastoni able to bypass Gilmore's press, and open brackets, this was because Gilmore had to cover a lot of ground to track a center back, therefore his pressure wasn't always successful, Inter ended up using their left flank 37% of the time in the first half, their highest proportion. However, on the flip side, Napoli focused their build-up on the right side, with Spinazzola taking a more defensive role on the left to counter Inter's attacks, particularly through Dumfries, one of Inter's main weapon, as we know. Raspadori's involvement was limited in the first half, with only 39 touches, as Napoli directed most of their play down the left side. In contrast, Matteo Politano was much more active, accounting for 52% of the touches. This emphasis on the right flank was clear, with 49% of Napoli's attacks coming down that side. As for Inter, they started with a 3-5-2 formation, despite plenty of rumors of a switch to 4-4-2 with Marcus Thuram partnering Lautaro Martinez up front. During Napoli's build-up, Calhanoglu, one of Inter's main midfielders, was tasked with marking one of Napoli's midfielders during their build-up, which meant that Calhanoglu often was caught high on the field during the press, which meant there was a huge gap between Inter's midfield and Inter's backline, which tended to be deep more often than not, especially during the first half and later on in the second half. I think one of the issues and one of the situations that changed this match was DeMarco's injury, that for me was one of the turning points. From that moment, Inter began to lose intensity and attacking threat. Dumfries stayed in his position, while Bastoni initially filled in, causing some confusion. In fact, at some point after DeMarco's substitution, we could see Bastoni, Mkhitaryan speaking about who will replace DeMarco, especially since Dumfries had instantly and promptly switched sides on the other side. I think at that point in time, the coaches and the staff had a clear idea of what they wanted from their players after the substitution, but the message wasn't delivered clearly. Eventually, Inter shifted to a 4-4-2, similar to what they used against Lazio in the Coppa Italia earlier last week. This switch provided better coverage across the pitch, allowing the fullbacks to push forward more aggressively. However, The main issue for Inter in this setup was the lack of effective dribblers, which is a crucial element for wingers in a 4-4-2 formation. And I think here I can also mention another important player for Inter. Bastoni's importance cannot be overstated. When Bastoni was subbed off in the 88th minute, Inter's defensive balance and possession control suffered significantly. Consider this. Inter have now conceded 10 goals in the last 15 minutes of matches this season, 5 of them without Bastoni on the pitch. This is a huge step back compared to last season when they conceded just 3 goals in the same period. Bastoni's presence allows Inter to utilize the left flank more effectively while managing the opponent's press during build-up play. Key aspects that are sorely missing right now and which you wouldn't expect from such a solid and cohesive Inter side. So, I bring my analysis to an end. What do you think? We'd love to hear your thoughts and suggestions for future episodes of Tactics Imperium. Stay tuned for more tactical analysis, always here, powered by Serie A Spotlight. Alla prossima!